Hey, listeners, welcome back to another Motivation Monday with Enoch Maurice and myself. It's been a while, but we're back. And today we're talking about belonging and the need of social impact and being a part of a group. The phrase of the day is, if I allow them to feed me, I allow them to starve me. Stay tuned. We're coming at ya. Hey, listeners, welcome back to another episode of Motivation Monday. You might have thought that we were not motivated to meet you on a Monday, but here we are. We're back. Enoch and I had some scheduling conflicts, and then we had some technology issues, and all of that's just water under the bridge because here we are. Hey, Enoch, how's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm doing beautiful. I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I am so good, man. You know, the sun's shining. We didn't get snow today, so I'm happy with that. First day this week.
Snow?
Uh-huh.
You're still getting snow?
Yeah, welcome to Canada, man.
We've been having 80 degrees here for the past couple weeks. Snow?
Snow. It was like we had like 40 kilometer an hour winds, and like it was like 12 Fahrenheit here the other day when I went out for my walk. I was so disappointed.
It's so interesting. Like when you really think about like we're living in the same world, but we're living in different worlds. Like
totally.
It's crazy. I'm in 80 degrees. You're in snow. Like what? Wow. That's amazing. Nature is beautiful. Like that it's like life. Like it's just so many aspects to it. Like it's not just one thing. And that makes it so beautiful and just creative.
I agree. And, you know, I mean, and this is something like I don't really complain about the weather because it's like literally you can't do anything about it. Like I focus my time and attention on things that matter. Yeah. But, you know, it's a really interesting topic when you think about like that difference. Right. And it could be, you know, when we were in the winter, like in the throes of like January, we were getting I kid you not, minus 60 Fahrenheit with the wind.
That doesn't even sound possible. I don't even know how to calculate that.
that was like some day after tomorrow shit. Like it was not okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
How do you even go outside? What are you wearing?
Oh, like everything you own. Like it's like that sign. It's like that Friends where Joey doesn't want to pay for a bag, and so like he wears all of his clothes. Yeah. Like. But seriously, like, it's like, you know, I have a really great reliable vehicle. And so I was like the jump starter for all of my friends, like whenever I would go into the city or here at home. And, you know, it was sometimes there were 48 hour waits for AAA to come and help you.
Wait. You're not saying 4 to 8 hours. You're saying
48. 40. Yeah. 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. We had some friends here, and so we had four dogs in this house, and that was crazy. And
I could imagine.
that was crazy. And my girlfriend's husband was away at work in Fort McMurray, which was the same. Like they were this whole side of the country was just like in this deep freeze. Wow. And they were driving home to Manitoba, which is like two provinces over. So it goes Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. And so it's a good 12-hour drive for them. And they were driving and they came across this lady who had hit a deer. And so she wasn't sure if like she could drive her car because her bumper was falling off. Mm. And she had been quoted 24 hours sitting on the side of the highway number one in Canada in the middle of this deep freeze. Like it was crazy. Like,
how do you tell somebody that?
Like, how do you go to bed?
Tell somebody that. I couldn't do that job. How do you say like, I'll be there tomorrow.
Crazy, right?
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. Interesting.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, I was thinking one of the things that I've been hearing a lot of people talk about lately is a sense of belonging. And, you know, a lot of it is coming after those really big life changes. And I don't know about you, but I know a really diverse population. Like, I don't know just one group of people.
Yeah.
But like, you see these people who are like coming through, we're coming out of this like really bizarre post-pandemic world. And through that, like, I think people made decisions and choices maybe that weren't the greatest. Yep. You know, you saw a lot of conflict. You know, I mean, I don't need to tell you, you work in the system. You see this stuff all day. And, you know, one of the things that I've been working with a couple of people on is their sense of belonging after really significant events, like coming out of rehab or leaving a marriage. Or, you know, I have one individual that I was working with that was out of prison, like coming out of jail.
Yeah.
So I think that there's an opportunity here. I mean, and even like the average individual, when we look at like the lens of social media.
Yeah.
And how that impacts us. You know, there's a really interesting conversation happening in the U.S. Congress right now around the banning of TikTok if ByteDance doesn't sell it. And one of the things I saw was this like picture of somebody standing on like the front lawn of the White House. Yeah. And she has like a sign and she's making this content. And it's like... Is that like, is that belong? And that's where we get our sense of belonging from, is because of somebody who's showing us the highlight reel of their lives. Like,
it's crazy. It's tough because we've become so consumed with our phones and our devices that we don't even know how to belong, how to be in a community. So then when there's an opportunity to be, or it's a longing for, when you have the opportunity, it's like, you're there with a person and you're just looking at your phone because that's what you're used to. And you leave going out with somebody feeling like, I didn't get anything from that. It's because you didn't apply anything. And like, I feel like we've talked about this before where you should just disconnect, like take time to disconnect, because in this world, you're always going to have something. We're not meant to be alone.
No,
like I don't care what anybody says. I can live by myself for the rest. Okay, cool. But I don't think that it's natural for our beings to just not be in community, to not be in a place where we feel community, where we feel loved, where we feel like we belong. That's why I love those organizations that have like when people come home from jail, they have a community for them. Like, hey, we do this. There's a lot of churches that do different things. Like, hey, come see us. Come build this group. Like being in a, like, matter of fact, just yesterday, Thursday, one of my friends from high school, he started this men's group on Zoom where it's just like, yo, we just come together and we just talk about life. And I'm like, that's what it's about. Just get with a group of people. I told my wife, go get with some friends, go talk, like express yourself, because we bottle in a lot and we think we're okay when it's like, you need a place, a safe place, to where you can just let it all out and really just get back to your standard.
I think so. And I do think that, you know, social media has become this behemoth of how we, quote, connect. And certainly it has a place. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, you and I met on Instagram, right? Let's be honest. But at the end of the day, when you and I are sitting here and we're having these conversations and we're doing our pre-recorded, you know, catch up and, hey, how's it going? And how are the families and whatever? Like, that's belonging. Right. Like we created this sense of belonging with one another. And our goal with this podcast is to help people not only learn things and find new ways of thinking and behaving, just but also belonging.
Keep talking. Just imagine.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Yeah. Like, it's so distracting just seeing you sitting like that, because it's like, and then you know what happens, Enoch? Somebody scrolls and they go, no, keep talking. I'm listening. Right.
That alone is just like, we're not even having a conversation at that point.
No, you're not with me. You're not with me. And so, like, when I think about a sense of belonging, somebody who's gone through something that's maybe shameful or hard, you know, divorces are really, or separations are really great examples where people feel like they have to choose a side. And, you know, I don't know about you. I tend to live my life a little bit like Switzerland, unless I'm really passionate about it. I'm a bit of a libertarian that way, where it's like, you know, you and your wife maybe have this separation and whatever, and I'm going to be there for you. But you know what? I'm going to be there for her as well. If we're all friends, I'm not going to turn my back on either one of you. But you know what the difference is? I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to say, you know what? You know, I'm not going to be sneaky about it. You know, and I had this friend, and they went through, it was a pair of friends. They were some of my closest, dearest friends in my early 30s, and they were and they are fantastic people. Yeah. And they had so much hurt and so much anger and so much angst in their divorce and their separation. And I had told them both uniquely that if I see you using your children as pawns, every aspect, everything we do, and you know this, you live this every day in the best interest of the children. And if I'm a grown adult and I really say that my kids are my number one, the actions express the priority. And exactly. I got to be honest, I don't talk to either one of those people anymore because of the mess that they chose. My home was a safe space for their kids to be able to come and be and be kids and not have to feel. And they tried really hard to make sure that it didn't go down that path, but they just couldn't resist being mean. And it's like, you know, man, I'll tell you something. My harmony is more important to me than feeling right. Because you know what? When I lay my head down at night, I know who I am.
I always say protect your peace at all costs. I always say that. And to that point of marriage, it's so funny that when people are getting married, it's a beautiful thing. There's so many people that come together, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, I don't wish divorce on anybody, but it happens.
Yep.
I really wish that the people that were there for the marriage, the celebration could be there for the time when they're actually going through a separation, because that's one of the hardest times.
It is.
And you're alone in that process when it's like, well, when we started this, we had all these people. And now that we're going through this, we have nobody here with us. And that's also another thing where it's like, yo, if we were to come together, if she doesn't want to talk to him, the people that are there, they, if they make a community, it's possible it could save the marriage or it can make it a healthy divorce. Because that, I've seen so much where it's like, oh, man, the kids, you guys have no idea what you're doing to the kids. This is terrible. But if there was a community around, like, OK, I get it. You guys can't be together. It's an unhealthy relationship. Let's facilitate this. Let's all be in a community to help, like, with drop off, or let's make sure like you guys don't want to communicate. Okay, I'll be the person in between. Like, hey, what time is practice? What time, you know, and make it so that there's no animosity, and it helps the kids because now the kids are seeing like, hey, mommy and daddy aren't together, but it still feels healthy. If like they can feel when it's not healthy, but when you have a community around them, like it's like it lessens the blow a little bit.
I agree. And you know, for my divorce, like I was divorced, I was married very young, and that's, you know, where the beautiful Ruth came from. And we separated and we divorced. I negotiated everything myself. I wrote my separation agreement. I filed all of my court documents and divorce documents. In fact, my ex-husband's current wife served him the divorce papers for me, then signed the affidavit of service and sent it back. Right. And so, you know, it's possible. And we're not best friends, but we have zero animosity. You know what I mean? Like life is far too short to burn your bridges. And I get it. Not everybody is going to have the same reason for divorcing that I did. And so that it's an intimate kind of thing. But, you know, I love what you were saying about community supports. And in a lot of like church-based weddings, for example, I don't know if yours was, but my current wedding was in a church. One of the things that the minister actually does is asks the congregation to be that support for people, to have that community, to be that sense of belonging for them. And you know, it's almost like people are just like, yeah, of course, we're here for it, you know, but they're like, they're thinking about like the shrimp cocktail at happy hour.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. They're there for the celebration when it's like, no, I need you during this wedding. That's why, like me and my wife, we have couples that are married that when there's an issue, hey, go talk to them. Like me. And like you said before, we're honest with each other. My boy will call me. He'd be like, man, tell me if I'm bugging. She did this, that, I'm like, yeah, you bugging. Go apologize. And he'd be like, for real? Yeah, go apologize. You like, but no. He'd be like, oh, all right. And we have that respect for each other. Same thing with me. Let me tell you what she did. Yeah, I get it, but you should probably handle it this way. And I was like, oh, all right, fine, you know? And we had that relationship to where it's like, we're not just leaning on our own understanding and this is my way, this is how I should do. You can have another outside source saying like, look at it at this perspective now. Yeah. And when you have that, it really changes things. Having a place to where you can be safe and you can be vulnerable and you can tell somebody how you're feeling, how you're struggling. I just need you to listen. I just need you to be there for me. like being alone and doing that, trying to figure it out is tough. But when you can bounce ideas off someone, like even when it's with your finances, like, hey, I'm struggling with these bills. What have you done to get your debt down? What does that look like? But sometimes we try to figure it out on our own, and we dig ourselves in a deeper hole. So having that community is so important. It's deeper than people know.
Absolutely, it is. And it comes from a space of vulnerability. And I think because everybody has these highlight reels that they're putting out on social media, it's hard to be vulnerable. And, you know, but then you have the people who are like, look, I'm so vulnerable. Look at all the things I've done. And it's like, I look at that and I'm like, that's like toxic positivity to me. And I don't particularly subscribe to that, because, you know, some things in our lives should be personal. Like, you shouldn't be, you know, barfing, you know, all this personal shit out on social media to be quote real. These are the things I struggle with. Like, come on. Oh, I'm going to show this because it's not my highlight reel. Stop it. Just stop it. Like,
they do that to make it a highlight. Like, we like, see what you're doing. We get it.
Yeah, it's disingenuous, right? But it works on people who live inside of their own heads, who don't have that sense of community and belonging. And so, you know, even just staying on the topic of relationships, like, I have friends who are, I know about five women who are using dating apps to try and meet Mr. Right. Okay. What a dumpster fire. Because, you know, and I mean, I'm saying to these people, I'm like, could I please write your profile? And they're like, absolutely not. Because my writing of the profile would be exactly what they say to me in a text message, which is, you should be this, 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 and this. Because if you can't meet these things that are important to me, I don't want to be a part of your community. Right. And so, you know, it's this like cesspool of people who are trying to, you know, find belonging, but they're all so, I want to say, unique in their own way. And it's like, just because you think I'm attractive doesn't mean that, or I like, you like my bodybuilding, or you like this about me, or whatever. That doesn't mean that you actually meet me where I am. It means that you know what I'm showing you.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's an interesting place to be. Like, I miss the days where you could just meet someone in person and see them for who they are.
You know, those times still exist. It's called going outside your fucking house. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you put your phone down and you open the doorknob and you step outside and you find yourself in a situation where there are other humans, guess what? Enoch, I have never met somebody. I've never used a dating app in my life.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
It's charisma. It's confidence. Yeah. It's the ability to make eye contact. It's the, you know what I mean? It's owning your shit and being who you are. Does that mean that you show up to a date in a wedding dress? Absolutely not. Yeah. Tap the brakes. But it means that you go out and you're doing stuff and you're not just in a social space. Mm-hmm. You're in a social space where you're going to find people who are like you. And, you know, I think this speaks to, like, I have this methodology about people. We're all diamonds.
Yeah.
We're all diamonds. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say we're diamonds is because each one of us has been made under extreme pressure. Oh, nobody gets to this stage of life and not having experienced any type of stress or trauma. Mm-hmm. But the second piece is, we all have different facets of us that need to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at, like, your three main vectors of husband, father, motivator. Right. Yep. Those are really important to you. Mm-hmm. But you go a little bit deeper, and it's, Enoch really loves science fiction. I don't know if you do or not. You probably don't. Enoch really enjoys outdoor walks. Enoch really hates it when people chew with their mouths open. And so, like, when we get into the idiosyncrasies of who we are as diamonds, those little faces at the bottom of the diamond that, you know, when you hold it up to the light, maybe you don't always see. That's what breaks people down, because we're rushing to the altar. We're rushing to be able to post something on social media, make it Facebook official. We're rushing to compete with people around us. Like, it's just the authenticity and the desire to meet someone and just appreciate them and create that sense of belonging is absent.
Yeah. And you know what I'm thinking now that's making it harder is that because online we can put a persona, it's hard for people to have that because they're always going to feel like they have to put on. Mm-hmm. They can never be truly authentic to themselves because they feel like they're going to be judged. So I think that's going to make it harder for people to belong. So I want to say to people, like, hey, if you feel like you have to put this mask on if you feel like you have to be perfect, we've already established that nobody is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's established. We say it, but we still try to put the persona like we are perfect. Be authentic. If people that you go around don't accept you for you, they're not for you.
Exactly.
They're just not your people, and it's okay. Just keep going. Keep searching for the people that can accept you for you. Stop putting on this fake facade of what you think people want.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not you. That's how you become depressed. Like, I heard it like this before. Depressed is you need deep rest from the person you're trying to fake that you are. Like, your body is almost like, I can't fake this anymore. Like, this is driving me crazy because I can't be me.
Mm-hmm.
Just be yourself. Like, yeah. Start there. Just start being yourself. And you're going to attract other people that are being themselves.
Absolutely. You know, and that I think is, again, I come back to like my word of the year last year, which mm-hmm. was unapologetic. And mm-hmm. that was something that, you know, I embraced. And it was like a really powerful thing for me because, mm-hmm. you know, you do try and keep up. I'm in a really competitive sport.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it's all aesthetic. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I can only grow muscle as fast as I can grow muscle. If I can't compete against somebody who is like twice my size, but half my height, like, yeah. come on, like yeah. I'm 5'8". Like, and so it took me a really long time mm-hmm. to find my place. Like, I just recorded another podcast with our sister podcast, mm-hmm. A Penny for Your Thoughts. And we talked about the difference between passion and purpose. And, mm-hmm. you know, my purpose isn't to be a pro athlete. I mean, I probably could go and hit a pro card. Like, I don't think yeah. that's out of reach for me, but yeah. I don't think that would add value to me because then I would be competing at a level where I just simply am not competitive. So what would that do to my passion? Right.
Yeah.
So if I just am real with who I am as a person and just accept my passion for what it is, then I look at what my purpose is, and my purpose is to connect, is to value people, is to be purpose-driven and loving and kind. Like mm-hmm. one of my affirmations that I write every single morning in my journal, every morning is I am love.
Mm.
What an anchor, right?
Wow.
And so I'm not trying to be somebody else. And so unapologetic led to advancement this year. And all of that culminates into really accepting who I am and loving what I bring to the table. But not only that, it's loving what you bring to the table without judgment. Because if we look at like the Toltec agreements, the four agreements in Toltec wisdom, it says to us, be impeccable with your word. And mm-hmm. so that's not just to other people, but it's in your mind and it's to yourself. And
yeah.
that is one of the hardest ones that I had to master the first time I read that book. And wow. because, you know, you're reading it and you're like, oh, I'm a really nice person. But then, oh, you're so this, you're so that in your head. And then you see somebody on social media and it's like, oh, I'm going to forward this to somebody because it's disgusting or gross, or I have an opinion.
Yeah.
I stopped myself from doing that because it's like, what am I adding into the world? What am I bringing
yeah.
to the community? How yeah. am I creating a sense of belonging? That's my purpose.
Wow. Now that's beautiful. And I love the fact that you're specific with the words you're saying in the morning, because I heard this study that in the brain, in our mind, like we having like 90,000 million thoughts or something like that. And a huge percent of it is negative.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to counteract that with positivity.
Yes.
So being direct with what I'm saying, like I am loved, like you got to say things like that, because there's things around us that's telling us like, oh, you're not valuable. You're not mm-hmm. this, you're not that. So you have to counteract that and say, no. I am that. Like, sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror like, nah, I am that. And look at yourself like, yeah, I'm like that. I'm that person. You know, it's putting that self-confidence so that if you just rely on other people, then they'll be able to tear you down.
Absolutely.
If you allow people to be the ones that lift you up, it's great to get compliments. It's great to be seen as valuable from others. But you have to see it from yourself first, because the minute you give people that power, they have control over your emotions. They have control over your thoughts. They have control of how you move. They have control over how you act. They literally have control over your life. So find that within you first. And then once you can find that, then you start to see it in other people and you start treating them that way. And that's what makes the difference.
That's the magnet. That's the magnet. And so if we were to summarize this whole podcast, and I want to actually, you know, you just hit me and this thing that I say to myself all the time, if I give them the power to feed me, I give them the power to starve me.
Ooh.
And that comes back to another one of the four agreements, which is take nothing personally. Don't take anything personally.
Yeah.
If you think that I'm fantastic at my job, thank you. I appreciate that. You have to have that stoic belief.
Yeah. But
then that same person comes to you and says, yeah, you kind of did a crappy job this time. And it's like, oh, well, and now my self-worth is there. And so you think, okay, let's bring this back to the top of the conversation and really put a summary in here to plant one little mustard seed. Let's plant one.
Okay.
And that is, you know, you're coming out of a divorce. You're coming out of a breakup. You're coming out of rehabilitation. You're coming out of car accident recovery. You're coming out of jail. You're coming out of a halfway house. You do not have a good narrative of who you are.
Yeah.
You have been told things that have taken you to this space. You have a disbelief in yourself because of what you're coming through. You're working really hard in that rehabilitation of a car accident, and you're not moving fast enough. You're not feeling good about it. You're hurting on the inside, and you're hurting physically, right? Mm-hmm. And what it all comes down to create a sense of belonging, to find the magnet, is to have it inside of yourself. Because what do we see in other people? We see those flickers and those flames. And that's what brings us together.
Yeah. Yeah, that is beautiful. That, like, that flicker and that flame. That's all it takes, is one little spark.
Absolutely.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Just that one little spark. And it's inside you. Once it sparks, you're on fire. You're just going to keep going.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Let's tap the brakes. Let's leave that with our listeners.
Yeah.
Well, dear listeners, thanks for joining us. We're so happy to be back and happy to have you with us. And as always, if there's any content you'd like to see us feature, any questions you have for Enoch and I, anybody you'd like to have us have on the podcast, reach out. A call doesn't cost a thing.
Let's go.
Let's go.